Welcome. You are listening to a sermon from Christ Chapel Barrie. Listen and be blessed.
That song is for someone here this morning. The Pentecostal power is still the same as it was on the day of Pentecost. The power that raised the dead, the power that healed the sick, the power that gave unction to men and women that had no clue, that power is here today. If you release yourself and let him touch you, you will not live here the way you came. Amen. Someone there will have a testimony in Jesus' name. Amen. Father, we thank you. We lift your name on high. Accept our thanks in Jesus' name. Thank you for what you have done. Thank you for what you are doing. Thank you for what you continue to do. Father, is there anyone here today that sin will hinder us from receiving from you? We have prayed for mercy. Now collectively we plead for mercy. Have mercy, O Lord. Let none of us live here the way we came. Let your touch be permanent upon us. Thank you, Heavenly Father. We love you, Lord. For we have prayed in Jesus' name. Before you sit down, tell somebody, I love Jesus. I love Jesus. Do you love him? Now say it again. Say, I love Jesus. Do you love him? One more time. I love Jesus. Do you love him? Let's have our seats. We're welcome to his presence. My wife is not here today. She went for a program, Women in Ministry. They should be running up very soon and she'll be on her way. Of course, by the time she comes, we will have left. But she sends her greetings. Luke chapter 18. I'm going to read from verse 1. Luke 18, verse 1. If you are there, shout hallelujah. It's been shown on the screen. And he spoke a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came to him saying, avenge me of my adversary. And he would not for a while. But afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubled me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said, and shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? Verse 8, he said, I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. How will he avenge them? Speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? You know, during the Sunday school this morning, we were talking about, what was the topic? Christianity and governance. And we were talking about praying for our leaders. Look at what this passage says. He says, shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry unto him, how often? Verse 7, day and night. So when the Bible says pray without ceasing, the Bible is saying pray day and night. Many of us don't pray day. By the time we start praying at night, we fall asleep. We are just running with the wheel. I say, this place is different too. And you know, the cold helps us not to pray. Is that not so? Winter helps us not to pray. God help you if the heating in your apartment is not that high. So by the time you get in, you have to pad yourself with all these things. And the easiest thing to do is to do what? Is to sleep. But tell somebody it's not an excuse. So today we want to continue looking at the topic we've been looking at, which is, Lord, do what? Teach us to pray. And when we started, one of the things we have said, not when we started, but recently, is the fact that prayer is dependent on relationship. I would say the most important relationship upon which others are predicated is that of fatherhood. That's why when Jesus was teaching his disciples to pray, he said, pray like this. Say what? Our Father. And we said, that's the first and most important relationship. God must be your Father. Tell somebody, God must be your Father. There's no compromise on that. If that requirement is not fulfilled, there's no moving forward. But beyond that, we say God desires to be your friend. And then we give some examples of friends of God in the Bible. Abraham, Moses, Noah, friends of God. People that God communed with. When the Bible says, can two walk together except they what? The Bible is talking about friends of God. Men that God can say, I want to do something in Sodom. But I won't do it without telling who? Abraham. Because Abraham was his friend. And he's looking for friends among us, brethren. You don't need to be a mighty man of God to be a friend of God. Because your destiny is not the same as my destiny. I'm doing what God has called me to do today. Even though it took me a winding route to get where I am today. But I know this is where God wants you to be. God's plan for your life might be that he wants you to be what? A giant of industry. Or like we were discussing in the morning. God's plan for your life might be that he wants you to be what? A politician. And brethren, there's corruption in politics all over the world. So if you think it's only in Nigeria, you are joking. There's corruption in politics where all over, politicians are all the same. Most of them serve the same God. And you know who that God is? You know who the God is? It's the devil. That's the truth. Most of them, but not all of them. That's why you can make a difference. If it is God's plan for you that you should be in politics, you just need to go in alignment with him. Become his friend. And then when they are planning against you, before you leave the house, God would have said, 1, 2, 3, 4, they've planned so, so, and so. So today, maybe don't go. Or today, when you get to the office, don't sit on this chair. Doesn't God talk to people like that?
Yes.
We're not talking about pastors. So he wants to be your friend. Tell somebody he wants to be your friend. Now, ask the person a question. Do you want to be his friend? You know, when Joshua was talking to his disciples, to the children of Israel, he said, as for me and my house, we'll do what? He said, choose ye, who will you serve? Is it the God that your father served over the God of your fathers, or the God that you serve over the rivers? And he said, no, we'll serve the living God. He said, no. He said, you cannot serve God the way you do this day. Joshua himself had seen that his own people cannot do what? So God does not even need to come through. And we saw what happened after Joshua left. That indeed, they couldn't serve God. So if you want to be a friend of God, you know that the God we serve, the Bible says it's too holy to do what? That's the God we serve. He's not going to change his laws because of you. He won't change his standard of holiness because of you. And I will go a step further today. We want to look at God as a judge. Knowing God as what? We are talking about that relationship that is important in the place of prayer. So that when you come before him, you have a basis to communicate with him. To relate with God as a judge, you have to approach a place called the court of heaven. A place called what? There is a place called the court of heaven. That is where you approach God as a judge. That's why you bring your case and say, Lord, they want to cheat me. Say, what? Let's see. It's not he doesn't know, but he wants you to bring your arguments. Remember, the Bible says the heavens belong to God, but the earth has he what? Has he given to the children of men? So unless you go to him and say, Lord, you need to intervene, he will not intervene. And because some of us have learned not to talk to God, maybe you're supposed to live to be 90 years old. If you die at 50, you will still make heaven. But that wasn't his plan. Because you refuse to commune with him, to take your case to him as as occasion demands. So in the court of heaven, there are a number of participants. I don't want to call them actors because they are not acting. There are a number of people in the court of heaven. If you are going to approach this court, if you are going to know God as a judge, and the first person is God himself, who is the judge. And that's God the Father. He is the judge. The Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 23. He said, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn. Maybe we should start from verse 22. Let's start from verse 22. He said, but ye are come unto Mount Zion, and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels. Now verse 23. To the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God the judge of all. And to who? God the judge of all. And to the spirit of just men made perfect. Brethren, God, the Bible tells us here, is the judge of all. And brethren, that all includes the devil. I hope you realize that. That all includes a place called hell. Hell will be judged. So nothing and no one can escape the judgment of God. Now, look at the devil. He's condemned. Is that not so? There's no repentance for him. He knows where he's going. Once in a while, he goes to look at the lake of fire and say, this is where he will end. He will end up. Now, because of the nature of his transgression, if God has made up his mind that this is where the devil is going, this God that made you and I, that did not make us for destruction, do you realize that? Maybe I should backtrack a little bit. Can the devil make children?
No.
Are you sure of that? Because we need to realize that Satan cannot create children. Remember that Satan himself was created. And remember that he's a fallen angel. So that the power and authority that we have as children of God, we tend to forget it. The Lord will help us in Jesus' name.
Amen.
I said the Lord will help us in Jesus' name. Amen. God, the judge of all, he will judge all from the highest level of disobedience to the lowest level. In Egypt, when the firstborn of the Egyptians when they were killed, the Bible says the firstborn of Pharaoh to the firstborn of the least servant, it made no difference. Everyone lost a child. You will suffer no loss in Jesus' name.
Amen.
In Psalm 7 verse 11, he said, God judgeth the righteous. And God is angry with the wicked every day. You know, because when you hear the word judge, we normally think that it connotes punishment. Does judgment mean punishment? Let's talk to her. Does it mean punishment? No. Judgment is a state whereby those who need to be rewarded will be what? And those who need to be punished will be what? The Bible tells us that God judges the righteous, but is angry with the wicked every day. Please ask your neighbor, are you wicked? You didn't ask your neighbor. Ask your neighbor, are you wicked? That passage says God is angry with the wicked every day. So it means if you are wicked, God is angry with you. It's in the Bible. He's angry with the wicked every day, but he judges the righteous. In James 5:7. It says, be patient therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receive the early and latter rain. Be ye also patient. Tell somebody, be patient.
Be patient.
Just establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Grudge not one against another. That's a very good advice for the married people here today. Do what? Grudge not one against another. He said, lest he be condemned. You see husband and wife, they are coming to church. They are not even talking in the car. Because before they left the home, they were what? They were quarreling. And when they leave the church, they resume their quarrel. Sorry, you know, I'm not, I mean, this prayer for homes that we do. I remember my wife would say, husband should do what? Hold your hands and pray. Sorry, I didn't do that. Maybe that would have reconciled one family today. Grudges. Grudge not against another brethren, lest you be condemned. He said, behold, the judge standeth before the door. Who is that judge?
God.
He standeth before the door. So when you are in your house and you are quarreling and you are breaking the plates and you are, because you know, pastor doesn't know your house, he's not going to knock on the door. Someone stands at the door. Who is that person?
God.
He's the judge. He sees what nobody sees. He knows, you know, even when our sisters, you know our sisters, they know how to do shakara. Is that what they call it?
Yes.
Sister Gina, correct me if I'm wrong.
You're right, sir.
They will make all the noise and say, look, this. But a discerning man knows that my sister is just talking. Is that not so? Then the man will not say, did you hear what she said? She's talking to me. And he will start destroying it. All he has used his life to build. All that the woman just wants is attention. And if you give her the right attention, that quarrel will soon finish. But then you make yourself an elephant. You know what happens when two elephants, when they fight? What happens? Instead of you to just, if she wants to talk, let her talk. Tell one man beside you, let her talk. When she finishes talking, either she's right or wrong, draw her close and say, I'm sorry. You are the one, it's her fault too. Are we together? It's whose fault? It is her fault. Yet, do what? Draw her close and say, honey, I am sorry. That's the end of the corner. The judge that standeth at the door is looking. Because the Bible says, blessed are what? The peacemakers. Please ask your neighbor, are you a peacemaker?
I am a peacemaker.
Or are you the one that will pour petrol on the, say this kerosene is not eating up the fire very well? The Lord will help us in Jesus' name. He said, take, verse 10, take my brethren, the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord, for an example of what? Suffering, affliction, and of patience. He's talking about prophets, who, righteous men of God. They suffered affliction and they were patient. There was a day Jeremiah woke up. And what did Jeremiah say? He said, oh God, you have deceived me. Is that in your Bible? This was Jeremiah. That's why they call him the weeping prophet. He said, oh God, you have done what? He was a prophet of God. Why did he say that? God told him Jerusalem will be overrun. Judah will go into captivity. And then a few days later, somebody said, I have a piece of land to sell. And God said, what? Buy it. See, these two things are contradictory. Even the prophet was confused. The prophet as an example of suffering affliction, but being what? Patient. If you read that story of Jeremiah very well, you see that he said what God told him to say. Even when the heathen king that invaded the land came, he looked for Jeremiah and said, wherever you want to go, go. I have nothing against you. If you want to come with me to Babylon, come. But Jeremiah said, no, I'm a prophet of God. I will stay in this land. Say, whatever he wants, give it to him. See, brethren, that's the way God sets apart those that are godly. We're talking about God, the judge. God, the judge. Verse 11 of that passage says, behold, we count them happy, which do what? Which do what?
Endure.
I know this is not what somebody here wants to hear today. We are talking about suffering affliction. We are talking about endurance. Is that not what life is about? All that we want is a life of touch and go. You know the life of touch and go? Everything is sweet. Everything is easy. No problem. In fact, once you give your life to Christ, no more problem again. Is that true or false?
False.
It's false. He told, in the book of Isaiah, I believe, he said, I have chosen you. Where? In the furnace of what? Affliction. I have chosen you in the furnace of affliction. Through the difficulties and trials that you go through, I will know if you will be true to me. Please ask your neighbor, will you be true to God? Or will you give up on him? Many of us have given up on God. We'll find ourselves in a situation that's just a little bit tricky. Say, does it mean that I won't eat tonight before I sleep? Convert it to a fast. It's true. You have no food. Rather than go and sin because you have no food, do what? You won't die. That night, pray. I'm telling you, by morning you will have food. Is somebody with me? There is affliction. There are difficulties. But it's all a call for endurance. Tell somebody endurance.
Endurance.
That's why the Bible says, endure hardship. There will be tests. There will be tests. The question is, will you stand? Or will you chicken out? Or more appropriately, will you be a vegetable? Tell someone,
don't be a vegetable.
You know what vegetables do? It looks beautiful. Even the strongest vegetable, carrots, put it in hot water. What happens? It gives way. It gives way. Those tough times are meant to build you up. Tough times don't last, but tough people do. Is that not so?
Yes.
That is it. Those are challenges. Those are the times you need the support of your wife. Those are the times you need the support of your husband. Those are the times, I'm talking to those of us that are married now. Those are the times you need to stand by each other. So that when the days of blessings come, because they will come.
Amen.
Tell somebody they will come.
Amen.
Now you can look back and say, I remember those days. Like the Geo will say, I remember the days when we used to eat okra meat. There's something called okra meat, yes. Those, you cut okra, you know, cut it big, and then give it to the children and say, this is what? Okra meat. Now he can say it anywhere, it's part of his history. That's what, when we say you have a testimony means you have passed through a test. When you endure, you will have a testimony. And I pray for someone here today, you will have a testimony. I say you will have a testimony.
Amen.
Hebrews chapter 10, verse 26 to 21. What's he talking about? God, who is the judge in the court that we are talking about? Hebrews 10, 26 to 31. He said, for if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. In other words, the Bible is saying, don't crucify Jesus a second time. I think that's a good advice to give to your neighbor. Say, don't crucify Jesus.
A second time.
Verse 27 says, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Verse 29, of how much sorrow punishment, suppose he, shall he be thought worthy, who had trodden underfoot the Son of God, and accounted the blood of the covenant, wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and had done despite unto the spirit of grace. In other words, that brother, that sister, who was born again, who decided that this their Christianity is too slow for me. This one that is just telling you to pray. I don't want to become pastor. All this prayer is getting too much. If you don't pray, you become a prey. Are we together?
Yes.
You don't want to pray? You do what?
You come and pray.
You don't want to P-R-A-Y? You become a P-R-E-Y. None of us will be prayed to the enemy in Jesus' name.
Amen.
It says, verse 30, for we know him that has said, vengeance, I'm reading from Hebrews chapter 10. Vengeance is mine, or vengeance belongeth unto me. I will recompense, said the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge his people. You need to allow God to fight for you. There's a prayer point I always pray. And I pray that God, Father, everyone that is denying me of my right, begin to judge them. That's a very, write it down if you are writing. Everyone that is denying me of my right, begin to do what? How God will judge them, it's not your business. Amen? He's a judge. Judge them. You may find out that when he begins to judge, you have forgotten the prayer you prayed. You may be the one that prayed and say, Lord, have mercy. Maybe you did, because you didn't even know in the first instance that the prayer you prayed, this was the person that is impacted. He said, vengeance belongs to me. I will recompense, said the Lord. And then he says, the Lord shall judge his people. And verse 31 is where I'm going. It is a fearful thing to do what? To fall into the hands of the living God. It's a very fearful thing. Remember in the book of is it Habakkuk, it says, this God is too holy to behold iniquity. And the Bible tells us in, I believe it's Hebrews, is it Hebrews 12:29 or so, that says, our God is what? A consuming fire. He can consume the impurities in you, or he can consume you. The choice is yours. If you yourself are the impurity, our God is a consuming fire. And then Hebrews chapter 4, we're still talking about God the judge. Hebrews 4, 12 to 13. He said, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Verse 13. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight. Tell somebody, he sees you.
He sees you.
That's what that passage says. There is no creature that is not manifest in his sight. But all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. He sees you. He knows you. With God, there is no hiding place. But he sees you because he wants to reward you. He sees you because he wants to promote you. He sees you because he does not want to lose you. God has lost some people because they are candidates of destruction. That will not be your portion in Jesus' name.
Amen.
He sees you because he's saying, I know the plans, or is it the thoughts I have towards you. Is that not so?
Yeah.
Thoughts of what? Of peace. And not of evil. To give you what? Unexpected. God's expected end, I guarantee you, is better than any plan you have for yourself. Is that not so?
Yes.
Many of us here, 10 years ago, if you were asked, what's your plan for the future? Maybe you don't even know where Canada is on the map. It's very possible. I remember when we used to do geography, there were names we crammed that made no sense. Lake Titicaca in Peru, Bolivia. If you did geography or whatever, you remember some of those names. Yellowstone National Park. I've not been there up till today. But when we used to do geography, when we were talking about, is it geishas or something like that, we mentioned all those names. Somewhere there, something brings out hot water and cold water. Here you are today. You didn't plan to be here today. God has worked it out that you are here. And he still has a plan for your future.
Amen.
And he will take you there.
Amen.
The Bible says his hands are what? Everlasting arms. Hands that lift and cannot fail. Hands that lift and cannot fall. Man can fail you. If I'm not, man can. Man will fail you. That's the truth. If your trust is in man, that man will fail. But if your trust is in God, and God now talks to that man and say, help my son, help my daughter, you cannot fail. We are talking about God, the judge. He sees the intent of every heart. All things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. That's the God we are talking about. So, number one, in the court of heaven, there is a judge. Number two, and that's where we're going to stop. Number two, there is an advocate. There is an advocate. When we go to 1 John chapter 2, 1 John chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. So there is a judge and there's an advocate. He says, my little children, these things write I unto you that you sin not. Please tell your neighbor, please sin not. That's what the Bible says. He now goes on to say, if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Why would a righteous God or a righteous Savior advocate for a sinner? Because he has paid the price. Because he shed his blood upon the cross of Calvary. But he's willing, he's prepared, he's ready to stand in for you. But the problem is many of us are deceitful. Even when we come to God, we are not sincere. Is that not so? It's like you give a child cookies. I say, can you give me some? What will he do? He won't just say no. He will put it behind. Thinking that, okay, now there's no way you can get it. But I gave it to you. Many of us are not sincere with him. We have an advocate. The Bible says, he is the propitiation for our sins. In other words, he has taken our place with the Father. And not for us only, but for the sins of the whole world. That's why we sing that song. I said, whosoever will. Anybody that wants, his arms are open and is ready and willing to receive us. In Acts chapter 7, verse 55 to 56, Acts 7, 55, it says, but he, talking about Stephen, when they were stoning him to death, but he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God and said, behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man doing what? Standing on the right hand of God. When you read your Bible, many instances in the New Testament were told that Jesus is seated on the right hand. But at that point in time, there was war. There was what? There was war. Jesus could no longer afford to sit down. So he did what? He stood up. He stood up. That's how he cares for you. Remember, he deals with us as individuals. When he sees what you are going to say, that's my brother. You know, the Bible says we are joint heirs. He's your Lord. He's your personal Savior. He's your brother. He sees what you are going through. And he sees that you have made up your mind not to give up. He stands up for you. He's our advocate. Remember that story that was shared with us of, during the time of the old USSR, some Christians were arrested and they were going to kill them, and they thought shooting them would just make life easy for them. Shooting would just be an easy road to heaven for them. So what did they do? They took them to Siberia. If you know where Siberia is, I only know where it is on the map. And they put them out in the cold. When you now talk of winter in Siberia, you now see that we were enjoying here. They put them out in the cold in winter. The soldiers made a bonfire and stayed by the fire and said, well, if you deny Jesus, come and join us. If you don't deny Jesus, we will watch you die. And truly, gradually, they were losing their lives. They were not with winter jackets, they stripped them naked. Because of Jesus. But as they were dying, the Lord opened the eyes of one of the soldiers. And he saw that, I think there were maybe seven of them, I don't know how many. But he saw that behind each of them was an angel with a crown. Just waiting for the guy to die so that he can do what? Receive his crown. But just as they were about to die, one of them said, I give up. I give up. I mean, this is what I even thought, like Judas thought. He thought Jesus would fight and reclaim his kingdom. See, I thought he would come and fight for us. I'm just adding my own. He gave up. But the soldier whose eyes God has opened threw away his gun and took his place. He was a Christian for a short while, but he made heaven. He received the crown. There's an advocate, Jesus Christ the righteous. How are you running this race? The death that Christ died for you, what's the essence? Do you look back and say, if Jesus did this for me, I'm ready to stand with him to the end? Or are you looking back and saying, well, God understands. He doesn't understand, though. There's one thing God hates, and that's compromise. He hates it. He said, because you are neither hot nor cold, I'll do what? I will spew out of my mouth. Because you are neither hot nor cold. Because you say, I will sin today, I will go to church tomorrow. He knows you are not, what's the word? You are not serious. There's no repentance in it. Salvation, brethren, talking about the advocate, Jesus Christ, he died for us, he died for you and I. Salvation means four things, four areas. Maybe sometime we'll have time to talk about it. But when we're talking about salvation from the pleasures of sin. Salvation from what? You still enjoy the pleasures of sin, you are not saved. Salvation from the pleasures of sin. You cannot eat your cake and have it. Is that how they say it?
Yes, sir.
From the pleasures of sin. That's number one. Number two, salvation from the penalty of sin. There's a penalty for sin. Because the wages of sin is what?
Death.
It's death. There is a penalty for sin. But if you are saved, you are saved from that penalty. Number three, salvation from the power of sin. In other words, there is a force. You know what Paul said in Romans chapter 8? Is it chapter 8 or chapter 7? He said, oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from the power of what? Of this flesh. Salvation from the power of sin. You've got to get to that point where sin no longer reigns in your life. And the last one, salvation from the presence of sin. So are you a carrier of God's presence? Or are you a carrier of the presence of sin? When we see you, do we see God or do we see sin? That's the question I have for us today as we round up. We've talked about God, we've talked about the advocate, and we'll continue next week in the court of heaven. So that when you bring your case before the court, you go home justified. You go home with the Lord saying, you have won. You can stand before him at any point in time and say, oh, my son, I see that you are here. Of all the thousands, all the millions, all the voices over there, are you saved? Or does still reign in your life? Let's bow our heads this morning. And just talk to him. Just talk to him. Just talk to him. You know what the Lord has been talking to you about? Are you still a master of compromise? Is your own message that of anything goes? Our God is too holy to behold iniquity. He's talking to you today. You know that area that he wants you to address. He's here for you. You are here because of him. He's the living God. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Thank you, Lord. Here am I. Send me. Here am I.
Jeremiah, send me one more time. Jeremiah, send me, Lord. Jeremiah, send me. As the Lord needs somebody, here am I. Send.
That song is the heart cry of somebody here today. This is not an altar call for you to give your life to Christ. This is an altar call of somebody whose heart cry is saying, Lord, send me. Lord, he's been talking at your heart. He's been talking to you. If you are that person, it may be one person, maybe more than one. You are in the sanctuary today. Please come forward. The Lord is talking to you. That is it. That's your heart cry. That's your heart cry. Here am I, Lord. Send me. Isaiah had been a prophet for a while. And then the Lord gave him a revelation. And right before his face, the Lord was saying, whom shall I send? Who shall go for us? And Isaiah said, send me, Lord. Send me, Lord. If you are that person, if the Lord is talking to you today, and that's your heart cry, saying, Lord, here I am. Send me. Are you that person? Come forward. And the Lord will meet you. And he will launch you into his plan and purpose for your life. Is the Lord talking to you? Is the Lord talking to you? Like I said, maybe just one person. God bless you, my brother. But this is a very unique opportunity. Are you crying to him saying, here I am, send me? It calls for a sacrifice. It calls for you saying, Lord, I yield myself unto you. I give myself away so you can use me. I give myself away. I give myself away. We love you, Lord. You're a wonderful Father. You are a good God. Father, be glorified in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray for your son. Pray for him. His heart cry is unto you and unto no man. Lord, that touch that has been upon him from the day that he was born, this is our month of divine fulfillment. Begin to fulfill in the name of Jesus. Father, make way for your son. And let his joy be full. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Thank you for your presence here. We love you, Lord. For we have prayed in Jesus' name. Is there anyone in the house this morning who is not born again? You cannot answer his call if you've not given your life to Jesus. If you are here, you are not born again, please raise up your hand where you are. We're going to pray together. If you are here, you are not born again, you want to raise up your hand where you are, we're going to pray together. Or you are watching online, you've not given your life to Jesus. This is a very unique opportunity for you. And we'll pray. Father, we just thank you. As many as are saying, come into my life, Father, take control of these lives. Write the names of your children in the book of life. And let our joy be full. Let this day be remembered in heaven for good. Thank you, Heavenly Father. We love you, Lord.
Thank you for listening to our sermon here on Christ Chapel TV. Tune in next time for the next sermon. God bless you.